Hello and welcome to the Poetry Exchange. I'm Fiona Bennett.
And I'm Michael Schaefer.
Great to see you, Michael.
You too, Fi.
Now, it's an exciting week, isn't it? Are you looking forward to your weekend?
Very, very much so. I've been preparing my camper van because we're off to Latitude. Of course, this weekend.
Well, that's a very good way to do it in style, isn't it? With your relatively new camper van.
Yes, new to me.
Yeah. Now, does it have a name, Michael? I know lots of people get into this naming.
People
the
have been sort of nominating names, and I've not really. None of them have really stuck.
I think Colette the camper van.
Colette the camper van.
Yeah, that's my
offer. I'll try that out. See how it sits.
See how that goes. Yeah. So it's going to be amazing, actually, isn't it? So many extraordinary acts and people there, and yeah, it's going to be fantastic to be part of it. And we're going to be talking to Nadine Sharp.
Mercury Music Prize nominated Nadine Sharp. I just think she's fantastic. She's really sort of got a lot of attitude, and she's political. She's from the Northeast. She's just got a really interesting take on things, I think. And I can't wait to speak to her about her poem. And we've also got Hannah Jane Walker.
Fantastic. It's going to be an amazing conversation between the two of them, because they're both, I think Hannah Jane's work is really profoundly engaged with honesty in a way. I mean, obviously one sort of thinks all art is, but you know, I think she's made a kind of an active investigation of the state of honesty in performance in some ways. And so I think her and Nadine together is going to be pretty mind-blowing.
Can't wait. And of course, we'll get to see both of them perform.
Yes.
And do their thing as well, which will be terrific. Yeah, can't wait.
Fantastic. So it's been a busy time all round with the Poetry Exchange team, hasn't it? Because the fantastic Sally Anglesey, our creative producer, has been working really hard on kind of developing the website a bit further. And
yeah, it's had a bit of a revamp, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, which is great. So do head over there and take a look.
Yeah, it looks really great. Sally's done a terrific job, and it's much easier to access the previous episodes. And it's got all of the text of the poems really nicely laid out. We had a bit of trouble with that before, and that's all looking really great. And so you can listen to the thing and read the poem as you're doing it. So that's, I don't know, I think that's really great.
I think there's probably one or two bits of it that we still want to kind of work out how we're going to do. There's new ideas kind of brewing for how we can increase the kind of interconnectivity between us and you, all of you listening. So we'll be working on that and keeping you posted with those developments. And of course, in the meantime, if you are able to make a donation, no matter how small, it makes an enormous difference to us being able to do all this stuff, which takes fees and funding for all sorts of aspects of the work, permissions to use the poems by these great poets, upgrading of the technology and those things involved. So every little donation is really helpful, and the donate page is there on the new site. So do head along there if you feel so inclined.
So we should just dive straight into this month's episode, and you'll be listening to Fiona and myself talking about O Captain, My Captain by Walt Whitman, the poem that's been a friend to Farah.
Brought a poem.
Yeah. Have you brought your friend?
I do. I have brought my friend.
Would you mind reading it out for us?
Of course.
Thanks.
Yeah. O captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. The port is near. The bells I hear. The people all exulting. While follow eyes the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring. But O heart, 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 O the bleeding drops of red, where on the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead. O captain, my captain, rise up and hear the bells. Rise up, for you the flag is flung, for you the bugle trills. For you bouquets and ribboned wreaths, for you the shores are crowding. For you they call, the swaying mass, their eager faces turning. Hear, captain, dear father, this arm beneath your head. It is some dream that on the deck you fallen, cold, and dead. My captain does not answer. His lips are pale and still. My father does not feel my arm. He has no pulse nor will. The ship is anchored, safe and sound, its voyage closed and done. From fearful trip, the victor ship comes in with object won. Exult, O shores, and ring, O bells, but I, with mournful tread, walk the deck my captain lies, fallen cold and dead.
Fantastic, thank you.
I'm not aware we've had anyone else bring in Walt Whitman. I don't know anything about him, and I don't know this poem, but why do I feel as if that, O Captain, my Captain, where do I know that from?
Possibly from Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society, there you go.
And do you know what's so interesting is that 30 years ago, I went to see that film in the cinema. It was the year I graduated from high school. And I was going to be a lawyer because my father, who was a sea captain, really wanted me to be a senator. He's like, you're going to go to law school, then you're going to be a senator, and you're going to be part of this great democracy, you know, because my father was an immigrant. So I was like, okay, I'll be a lawyer, because I didn't really know yet. And so I graduated high school. That summer, I went to see this film, Dead Poets Society, with my friends. And I came home and I said, Dad, I'm going to be an English teacher. And he was like, oh no, you're going to be poor.
That's like, yeah. Not the plan.
He was devastated. But it also means so much more than that film. But I think the reason why it's a friend to me is because it really showed me I really want to teach.
Right.
And I don't need to be a big senator and, you know, get my soul all dirty in politics, you know. But this poem, I mean, Walt Whitman's important to me as an American as well, because he's a poet of democracy. And this poem was actually written for Abraham Lincoln when he was assassinated. He was the president who Walt Whitman and a lot of other people who were pro-democracy were looking at as the kind of savior. And he actually called him the Redeemer President, you know, that high hope that Americans have for that office. Mm. And so it's really poignant at a time like this when many of us feel that that office is not what it used to be because of who's occupying it right now. And Walt Whitman was self-consciously kind of fashioning himself into the American bard, you know, because there was no American bard prior to him. He was, you know, he was kind of bumping around, you know, doing odd jobs. He was a carpenter, and then he became a teacher, and then he worked in hospitals during the Civil War with soldiers and kind of sort of ministering to them without talking about God. And he was pro-abolition. He talked about democracy and everybody in America as diverse and equal. You know, he spoke all of those things that we value now.
So you saw the film. Is the full poem in the film? Or did you then go and seek out the poem?
I sought out the poem. Mm. And then I sought out romantic poems. I don't know if it was about the stage of my life when my father, we'd moved to Texas. He immigrated to Texas, and I grew up there. And as I was graduating high school, just before, he had lost his job. And he had to sell the motorhome and then sell the house and then drop his car off at the bank because it was repossessed. And we moved into this little tiny place. And then my senior year in high school, I had to go and work. And I've worked like ever since. Mm. And my mom had to go back to school and get some qualifications, and she got a job, and then my dad felt shamed by that, and it was just really interesting. So I was witnessing this kind of loss of our life and the American dream. And then after high school, my dad had found a job in California, and so we moved out there, and I went to university over there.
Can I ask, you've mentioned your dad a couple of times now. You mentioned in passing that he was a sea captain.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he's a retired sea captain. And when I was a child, he was away a lot. But my father and I are extremely close. Mm. And I know that a lot of the person that I am today was formed by watching him and listening to him. You know, when I was 16, he woke me up on my 16th birthday and took me to get my driver's license and my social security number and job applications. And he's like, you're going to work, you're going to make your own money, and you're always going to be, you know, self-reliant. And it was this weird sort of feminist thing that was coming from this very patriarchal, you know, half Pakistani, half British sea captain. I couldn't really understand it. And then, of course, you know, as I grew up, I discovered that my my father's mother was beaten by his dad a lot. He was his father was an alcoholic, and was a really wonderful man when he wasn't drinking. Mm. It's amazing how my father's preserved that memory of him, but he remembers his mother getting, you know, beaten a lot. So he joined a training ship when he was 14, and then started, you know, as soon as he could, saved money, sent for her, you know, and tried to rescue her. And so he always felt that women needed to have something of their own, so that if they find themselves in that situation, they can just walk. So that he really instilled that in me, which is really interesting, because it's so paradoxical coming from my dad, because sometimes you hear the most patriarchal stuff coming out of him, you know. And he's a poet too. He writes poems.
Oh, your dad does?
Yeah, he writes poems all the time. He's always writing. He kind of publishes his own poems in these little booklets. And
wow.
Yeah. You know, he's incredibly soulful, and, you know, he's a man of the sea. And so the sea, like, is inside him. He's a very passionate, tempestuous man, and very complex life he's lived as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so the poem, I'm supposing it's also what that has been for you has probably changed.
Mm.
What the resonance of it has been.
Yes.
There's probably been many versions of what this journey captain is about.
Yes. Well, I mean, the metaphor of the ship and the journey is the Civil War. In this poem, and what the triumph is, what the victory is the Union, and the North having won the Civil War, and he's obviously seeing Abraham Lincoln as key to this, and Abraham Lincoln is exactly the kind of president that he thinks we should have, which is someone who's come from very humble beginnings, who understands that hard labor and hard journey of the working person. So that all of that is what's going on in there. And as an American, I read Walt Whitman saying that as an American, the American spirit, that's the arm underneath his head, you know, and democracy and all those things that he stood for when he was alive, the president. I guess for me, there's a lot of other stuff in there. And the resonance of it now is I feel profound, as a child of an immigrant and someone who was introduced into the American dream as this, you know, it is this gift or something. They talk about it as this gift. I've lived in England now for 21 years, so I have this nice, you know, sort of distant, objective view on how I was raised and how I was indoctrinated by the world around me. You know, we used to stand up every day at school and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. You say that every morning before school starts.
When I first found that out, that was the word that came to my head, was indoctrination.
The weird thing is, it's as disturbing as that seems, the weird thing is because America is such a diverse place with, you know, immigrants from everywhere, literally everywhere, because nobody there is indigenous except the indigenous Native Americans, that it was the one, America itself as an idea was the one unifying thing. You know, I can move as a Pakistani-born girl to America and become American. I can't move to Ireland and become Irish. Nothing I do is ever going to make me Irish. You know, I can live there, I can become a citizen, but I will never be Irish. Whereas I can move to America and I can become American And I actually don't have any other identity. I don't. If someone took that away from me, I have no idea what I am.
What's striking about this is that this is very declamatory and
it
very
is.
Public.
Yeah, it's an ode,
it's,
isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And quite story rooted as well as this kind of story of the captain and the journey, and so it's very Do you love that about it? About the kind of how the poem is. In form as well?
I do. I like the repetition.
Mm.
You get this sense of finality, the finality of death. You know, if death is something that you think, I think about death a lot. Just wrote my will. And mortality is something that we are really uncomfortable thinking about. You know, you're being morbid if you talk about death. But this kind of repetition of fallen cold and dead, fallen cold and dead, you get this sense of this sort of weight of that, of the body when life goes out of it. And the, the warmth of the body is gone. And I just find that image being repeated so fascinating. And it's also, it captures profoundly his grief. You know, his sense of loss, because with Lincoln gone, then what's going to happen next? You know, I think there's a little angst here as well about, okay, the ship is docked and the voyage is complete, but the captain's dead.
And you've used the word leadership a few times, and a captain is quite a old image of leadership in a way.
Yeah.
It's interesting, I'm wondering, you know, you're quite drawn to this figure and the possibilities of that person who we can look to.
It's a funny one because it seems to somehow contradict this egalitarian ideal that sits in Whitman. But my dad has loads of stories about being a sea captain and, you know, having his crew and how his crew would do whatever he told them to, but he needs his chief engineer, he needs his first officer, you know, all of those, everybody on the ship has so much importance.
Yeah.
And when you're out at sea together, the vulnerability is so great that it has to be a team.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of, there's the captain, but there's all these, there's the people on the shore, there's the people around, there's the arm beneath your head. There's a lot of the body of the people, isn't there, in the poem, as much as there is the captain.
Absolutely.
For you the shores are crowding, for you they call, the swaying mass, their eager faces turning. And it's only in the third verse where my captain then becomes my father.
Yes.
My captain does not answer. His lips are pale and still. My father does not feel my arm. He has no pulse nor will. And of course, I had to sort of pick that out and mention that just because of what you've been telling us about your father.
Yes.
The captain.
Yeah, he mentions father a couple times, but you're right. He says my father. And there's no question that the first time I heard this poem, I thought about my dad. There's no question I'm not thinking about it now when he's at the age of 86 and very, very frail. And he is certainly not that captain that he was before, which he's acutely aware of. And his world was always so huge. I mean, he's just this global personality. He's literally been everywhere. And his, you know, I sit down and talk to him and it's, I gotta go to the doctor and the pharmacy, and you know, and it's like the world is sort of their radius, their sort of small radius of doctors and pharmacies. And I remember he came to visit a few years ago, and I said, let's get on the train, go up to London for the day. And he said, oh, it's raining. I said, Dad, didn't you navigate a ship through a storm? And he goes, oh yeah. And I was like, you can handle some rain, come on. You know, we get on the train, right? So there's a little bit of the sort of, the loss that I'm eventually going to feel when he's not here anymore, that's beginning, that process is beginning already.
I don't
know if we've ever really had somebody bring in a poem that has kind of changed the course of your life in a way. It feels like sort of quite a pivotal moment, and that both in kind of practical ways, it's kind of it changed things for you. It's like, you know, the moment of going, no, Dad, I'm not going to be a senator. I'm going to pursue English and poetry. And when we ask people if they can to say what sort of friend this poem has been, I don't quite know if you could categorise what sort of a friend this poem has been for you.
I suppose a friend that I didn't know I had that might have been sitting and sort of in observation of me, and then one day kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, actually, I know you pretty well, and you, I don't think you're making the right choice here. You know, a real friend tells you when you're going the wrong direction, you know, or you're doing something that isn't going to be right for you or your soul. And so in some ways, I guess Whitman was that friend, or certainly this poem.
Oh, captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. The port is near, the bells I hear, the people all exulting, while follow eyes the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring. But, oh, heart, heart, heart! Oh, the bleeding drops of red where on the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead. Oh, captain, my captain, rise up and hear the bells. Rise up, for you the flag is flung, for you the bugle trills, for you bouquets and ribboned wreaths, for you the shores are crowding, for you they call the swaying mass, their eager faces turning. Here, captain, dear father, this arm beneath your head, it is some dream that on the deck you've fallen cold and dead. My captain does not answer. His lips are pale and still. My father does not feel my arm. He has no pulse, nor will. The ship is anchored, safe and sound, its voyage closed and done. From fearful trip, the victor ship comes in with object won. Exult, O shores, and ring, O bells! But I, with mournful tread, walk the deck my captain lies, fallen cold and dead.
That was Fiona with the reading at the end there, and our thanks to Farah for allowing us to use the conversation.
I just think that was such a fantastic conversation for us. I hope you all enjoyed listening to it too. It feels like it sits as one of many conversations that we've had where there's this sort of extraordinary testament to the way that poems travel, both across generations and eras and gender and culture and context, and it's just such a fantastic thing, these conversations, the way that we understand how a poem written at a very particular point in time, carrying a lot of huge significance to that historical moment, then resonates out into a life in another time. And again, somebody who's also, in the case of our visitor, who's left their home, and the poem is in some way is kind of in conversation with the journey of home.
We're going to take a little break over the summer, so there won't be an episode in August, but we'll be back with you in September, and hopefully we'll have our Latitude episode for you with Nadine Shah and Hannah Jane Walker. Sophie, have you got any recommendations for people in the summer, reading or listening?
Well, I think the summer is always a good time to be thinking about it, whether you can be by the sea or not, it's always a good time to be with the sea. And so I would say Paul Henry's selected poems, The Brittle Sea, published by Seren. There's some sea references in there. There's lots of other beautiful images and journeys through parts of Wales, stories, powerful moments, all sorts of things in there. It's a selected work, so it's that's a great thing to great. Take out into a field.
The collection is called The Brittle Sea.
The Brittle Sea, brilliant title.
We'll put a link in the description page.
Fantastic.
So until next time, have a great summer and thank you for listening.